Welcome to the OCR GCSE Physical Education Study Podcast. I'm your tutor for today, and in the next 10 minutes, we're going to cover everything you need to know about topic 6.5, role models, their influence on participation and behavior in sport. Whether you're revising for the first time or doing a final check before your exam, this episode has got you covered. Grab a pen because there will be a quick-fire quiz at the end. Let's start with the big picture. Why does OCR want you to know about role models? The answer is simple. Sport doesn't happen in a vacuum. The people we watch, admire, and look up to shape whether we get off the sofa and join a team and how we behave once we're on the pitch. Examiners want you to understand both sides of that coin, the inspiring and the damaging, and to apply that understanding to specific social groups. Now, the theoretical backbone of this whole topic is Bandura's social learning theory. Albert Bandura was a psychologist who argued that people learn behaviors not just by doing them, but by observing others. In a sports context, this means a young girl watching Dina Asher-Smith sprint to gold at the World Championships isn't just entertained, she's potentially learning. Bandura identified four stages in this process, and you need to know all four. First, attention. The observer must actually pay attention to the role model. In sport, this is made easy by media coverage, television, social media, YouTube highlights. The more prominent the athlete, the more attention they attract. Second, retention. The observer must remember what they've seen. They mentally store the behavior, the technique, the attitude, the conduct. Third, reproduction. The observer attempts to replicate the behavior. A young swimmer watches Adam Peaty's explosive start and tries to copy it in training. Fourth, motivation. The observer must want to reproduce the behavior. This is where the role model status matters enormously. If the athlete is admired, respected, and seen as successful, the motivation to imitate is much higher. Now, here is a crucial distinction that examiners will test you on: the difference between influence on participation and influence on behavior. These are not the same thing, and mixing them up will cost you marks. Influence on participation means whether someone takes up a sport, increases how often they play, or continues playing. A positive role model can inspire someone to start running, join a netball club, or try wheelchair basketball for the first time. A negative role model, someone involved in scandal, drug use, or violent conduct, can put people off sport entirely. They might think, if that's what sport is about, I don't want to be part of it. Influence on behavior means how someone conducts themselves within sport. Their sportsmanship, their attitude to officials, their treatment of opponents. A role model who consistently shows respect, plays fairly, and accepts defeat graciously teaches observers that this is how sport should be played. Conversely, a role model who dives, argues with referees, or uses performance-enhancing drugs normalizes that deviant behavior for those watching. Let's talk about specific social groups, because this is where many candidates drop marks. OCR specifically wants you to link role models to underrepresented groups. The three main groups to know are women and girls, people with disabilities, and ethnic minorities. For women and girls, historically, female participation in sport has been lower than male participation, partly due to cultural barriers and lack of visible role models. When athletes like Serena Williams, Dina Asher-Smith, or Beth Mead become household names, they provide what researchers call vicarious experience. Young girls can see someone who looks like them succeeding at the highest level. This directly increases participation. After England's Lionesses reached the Women's Euro final in 2022 and won, there was a measurable spike in girls registering for football clubs across the country. That is the power of a role model. For people with disabilities, athletes like Ellie Simmons in Paralympic swimming and Johnny Peacock in sprinting have transformed public perception of disability sport. When young people with disabilities see elite performers who share their condition achieving at the highest level, the psychological barrier of "I can't do this" is significantly reduced. Participation in disability sport has grown substantially in the years following high-profile Paralympic Games coverage. For ethnic minorities, representation matters. When Mo Farah, a Somali-born British athlete, won back-to-back Olympic golds in the 5,000 and 10,000 meters, it sent a powerful message to young people from similar backgrounds that athletics was a space where they belonged. Marcus Rashford, beyond his footballing talent, has become a role model for community engagement and social responsibility, demonstrating that athletes can influence behavior far beyond the pitch. Now let's flip this and talk about negative role models, because this is the area where candidates most often lose marks. They simply forget to discuss it. Examiners will specifically credit responses that address the consequences of negative role models. The key concept here is the normalization of deviance. When high-profile athletes repeatedly engage in unsporting behavior, diving, simulation, verbal abuse of officials, and face little or no consequence, observers begin to perceive this as acceptable. Young players copy what they see. Gamesmanship, bending the rules without technically breaking them, becomes standard practice. This erodes the spirit of sport. Performance-enhancing drug use is another critical area. When athletes at the elite level are caught doping, think of the numerous athletic scandals over the decades. It sends a damaging message. Some young athletes may conclude that drug use is simply part of elite sport. Others may lose faith in sport entirely, reducing their desire to participate. The loss of trust in the integrity of competition is a direct consequence of negative role models. There are also commercial consequences. Sponsors withdraw from athletes involved in scandal. Television audiences decline when a sport becomes associated with corruption or violence. This reduces funding for grassroots sport, which in turn reduces participation opportunities at community level. You can see how one negative role model can create a ripple effect that reaches all the way down to local clubs. Now, let's move into exam tips and the most common mistakes I see candidates make. Mistake number one, only talking about positive role models. Every question on this topic requires you to consider both sides. Even if the question says, describe the impact of role models on participation, you should address both positive and negative impacts unless the question specifically restricts you. Mistake number two, not linking the role model to a specific group. Don't just say, role models increase participation. Say, female role models such as Dina Asher-Smith increase participation among girls by providing a visible, successful figure they can identify with. That specificity is what earns AO2 marks, the application marks, which are worth 40% of your total score on this topic. Mistake number three, using informal language. Never write cheating in an exam answer. The correct term is deviance. Never write showing off. The term is gamesmanship. Examiners are instructed to award marks for the use of correct specification terminology, using casual language signals that you haven't studied the topic properly. Mistake number four, confusing participation with behavior. Keep these two concepts clearly separate in your answers. Participation is about whether people take part. Behavior is about how they conduct themselves. Use these words explicitly in your answers to signal to the examiner that you understand the distinction. For command words, if a question says identify, give a brief factual answer, one or two words, or a short phrase. If it says describe, give more detail about what happens. If it says explain, you must say how or why. This is where you earn the marks. If it says evaluate, you need to make a judgment, weigh up the positives against the negatives, and reach a conclusion. The word evaluate is your signal to write a balanced analytical response. For extended answer questions, typically 4, 5, or 6 marks, use the Peel structure. Point, state your point clearly. Evidence, give a specific example, ideally naming an athlete. Explain, say how or why this links to participation or behavior. Link, connect back to the question. This structure ensures you hit all three assessment objectives: knowledge, application, and evaluation. Now, quickfire recall quiz, I'll ask 5 questions, pause the podcast after each one, and try to answer before I give you the answer. Question 1. Name the 4 stages of Bandura's social learning theory. The answer is attention, retention, reproduction, and motivation. Question 2. Give one example of a positive female role model and explain how she increases participation among girls. A strong answer would be Dina Asher-Smith. Her success as a sprint world champion provides a visible, aspirational figure for young girls, increasing their motivation to take up athletics through the process of observation and imitation. Question 3. What is the difference between gamesmanship and sportsmanship? Gamesmanship involves bending the rules or using psychological tactics to gain an unfair advantage without technically breaking the rules. Sportsmanship involves playing fairly, showing respect for opponents and officials, and upholding the spirit of the game. Question 4. Give one negative consequence of a high-profile athlete being caught using performance-enhancing drugs. Credit would be given for normalization of drug use among aspiring athletes, loss of public trust in the sport, decline in spectatorship, withdrawal of sponsorship, reduced funding for grassroots sport. Question 5. Why is it important for disability sport to have high-profile role models? Because visible, successful disabled athletes reduce psychological barriers to participation, challenge stereotypes, and provide vicarious experience that motivates people with disabilities to take up sport. How did you do? If you got all five, you are in excellent shape. If you struggled with any of them, go back to the relevant section of your notes and make sure you can answer confidently. Let's wrap up with a quick summary of everything we've covered today. Role models influence sport through Bandura's social learning theory. The four stages are attention, retention, reproduction, and motivation. You must distinguish between influence on participation, whether people take part, and influence on behavior, how they conduct themselves. Positive role models from underrepresented groups, women, people with disabilities, ethnic minorities, are particularly powerful in increasing participation. Negative role models normalize deviance, gamesmanship, and drug use, and can reduce participation, spectatorship, and sponsorship. Always use correct terminology: deviance, gamesmanship, sportsmanship, vicarious experience. In evaluate questions, always present both sides and reach a conclusion. You've got this. Good luck in your exam, and remember, every mark counts. See you in the next episode.